I believe that the freedom comes only through the transformation that we have in Jesus Christ. As much we can change the social status of a person, as much we can improve their social condition, the true freedom comes only when there is a transformation in the heart of a person. And I believe this morning that as we hear the testimonies, that a major freedom that we can enjoy is being set free from condemnation, from judgment, from the wrath of God, from the power of sins. Jesus mentioned this in chapter 8 of John, verse 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free. And we can celebrate this morning the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And true personal fulfillment comes only believing on what Jesus Christ came to do on earth. He came to bear our sins. He came to set us free from the power of sin. In John 1:12-13, it says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not for the will of the flesh, not for the will of man, but of God. From God. And I'm really blessed this morning to see that these six people committed their lives to Christ Jesus, and they can call themselves Christian. And I want to introduce to you another person, the first convert in Europe. It was a woman called Lydia. And praise God for the woman. It's interesting that the Bible says that Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, he appeared first to women. Right? Remember? Women had a very special place in the New Testament and the Bible itself. And the first convert in Europe, according to what the scripture records, is this person called Lydia. Let's see some of the points that Lydia had. Lydia is not one of the most famous people in the Bible if you compare with Moses, David, or people like the Apostle Paul himself. But you will discover in this woman, in these few points that the Bible mentioned about her life, how she was willing to move from religion to relationship. And not only that, I believe that this encounter that she had with the apostles came after an accomplishment of God's plan for the people in Macedonia and Philippi specifically. Paul, with Silas and Timothy, were together with Barnabas and Jean-Marc. But in chapter 15, at the end of the chapter 15 of the book of Acts, we see that it was an argument. Yes, even men of God sometimes have a different opinion. And happened that Barnabas and Jean-Marc left for another trip while Paul, Silas, and Timothy and Luke were supposed to visit again the churches that they founded and on the first missionary trip. But while they were directing towards Troas, the Holy Spirit gave a vision to Paul. And this man, a Macedonian man, say to him, come and help us. So he redirected completely his trip and went towards Macedonia in the city of Philippi, where he started to see if there was a place where he can meet with people. And use this strategy. Usually Paul was approaching the Judaic community that was there, the Jewish, and maybe speaking in the synagogue. But the fact that there was not too many Jews in the city brought Paul to look at a place where people were gathering to pray. And in the riverbank of the city of Philippi, he met this group of women that went to pray. And I really thank God for women that are willing to pray. And I really thank God for the women of this church that are warrior in prayer. Praise God for this. Let's read the text in Acts chapter 16, verse 11, 15. Acts 16, from verse 11 to 15. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there were a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. And one who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized in her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. As we can see from this text, we see some traits of the personality that Lydia had. And when I use that trait to encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that today we'll go through the baptismal ritual. And I want to encourage all of us as a church, if we have not committed our lives to Christ, to follow such an example of Lydia. Let's see first. Lydia was a successful businesswoman. Lydia was a seller of purple goods. And this trade was learned by her on the city of Thyatira, where this specialization was really a characteristic of that city. Purple was a sign and a color of royalty. Only kings were allowed to dress with royal clothes, and also very important people, officials in the Empire of Rome, were allowed to have some purple portion of their clothes. And because to have the purple clothes or material was very, very difficult, you needed more than 1,000 shells of a kind of fish. It was very expensive. And those people that were in that trade were very wealthy. We can see also as Lydia had houses, able to guest many people, we can see that she was very respectable. However, she was looking for something more than material possessions. She was looking for something that was able to fulfill her heart. Remember what I say at the beginning of the message? Many people have been raised to a different level of society, moving from a worse condition to a better condition. But it's not that that will bring satisfaction to our hearts and human being. This woman, according to the standards of those times, she was very successful. But it was emptiness in her heart. She was looking for something. And that's why she was devoted herself to search for something more that she couldn't find in her pagan gods that she was used to worship. Most probably in Thyatira, there were many Jews. And she was in contact with a community for their trade. And she came to know the God of Israel. And that's why she was also a religious person. She was a very devoted religious person. Despite the agreement or the welcoming that the Judaic community could offer to her, she was looking to worship God. And the fact that she is called a worshiper of God is a clear understanding in the biblical language that she was following the God of Israel. And the fact that in Philippi there were not enough men to lead a synagogue, because according to the custom of those times, at least you needed 10 men, heads of households, to form a synagogue. So there were not such number that will allow you to form a synagogue. And so women were together to pray, to search for God, to quench their desire to learn more about God. They were very religious. And the fact that she was worshiping and praying on the Sabbath in a very polytheistic culture is a sign that she was very devoted to the God of Israel. She took the time to leave their business while no one was respecting the Sabbath. She took time off of her business to go and worship God in the way that she knew. And I exhort you and encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as much you are busy with work and career, have always the time to worship God. Take the time to go and meet your God. Could be in a quiet time in your own, could be in a gathering like this, but take time to worship the Lord. But in that Sabbath, something changed in her life. God brought some men to bring clarity on the message of the law of the Old Testament. God orchestrated that Paul, Silas, and Timothy were there look to ministry the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this seems to me something very common in the Bible. While you are doing something regular that is a habit of godliness, God intervenes supernaturally, unexpected. God is there. And I'm telling you, as a church, maybe in a Sunday morning like this, when it's the normal routine for us to come in church, and we are faithfully searching God, God will intervene supernaturally, touching souls, blessing people with healings, saving souls. This is what we believe. We believe in a living God that can intervene supernaturally in our ordinary life. That's the God that we serve. And I want to say this to you, my brothers and sisters. As you pursuing godliness in your routine, expect great and mighty things from God to happen. He can orchestrate something to speak to your heart in a way you will impact it for the rest of your life. That's the God that we serve. And following that religiosity that she had, Lydia had also a responsive heart. It's interesting here. Like all sinners, she didn't really seek God, but was God seeking for her. God orchestrated everything so Paul and the other apostles can be there to speak to her. But the Bible says, and Luke was inspired to record that, the Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart. There was the conviction that came from the Holy Spirit by hearing the preaching of the gospel. And it is the gospel that changed lives. And when the Bible says that Lydia was open, it doesn't mean that her heart was hard to not listen to the message. It was the closest mind that they had, believing that the Messiah should really come yet. Because the Judaic community didn't recognize at the beginning Jesus as the anointed one, the Messiah. So for them, Jesus was not the Messiah. It was not the Savior to believe to. And that's why at the moment that Paul started to speak the word and preach the same gospel that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the same gospel that Peter preached on the house of Cornelius, her heart was open. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. This is what Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says. And I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, do not resist to the word of God. Read the word of God. Meditate upon it. Allow the word of God to penetrate your heart, because at the moment that you are reading the word, the Lord will open your heart. The Holy Spirit will bring in your mind, in your heart, such thoughts that you cannot have received before. That's the power of the gospel. And Jesus came. And Jesus saved Lydia. And the Bible says very clear, through Jesus himself, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And this is the message that you can receive this morning, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ that will be baptized, but also to all of us. If you are called by God and the Holy Spirit is bringing to you the message of the necessity of being closer to Jesus, and if you go to Jesus, he will never cast you out. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to commit your life to him. And again, in the same chapter 6 of John, verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. That's the commitment that Jesus Christ has taken for you. He will keep you in his grace. He will guard you. In the moments that you will fall down, these words that we just finished to read have such impact in those who believe, because we know that Jesus is able to preserve you from falling. And you see, able to bring you one day in the presence of the Father. Praise God for this. Know that God is faithful. Jesus is faithful and will never fail. And again, the Lord opened her heart, but Lydia must give an answer. You see, the message can bring to you, the hope in Jesus, but you need to receive that hope in your heart. Lydia received. And we follow in verse 14 that she paid attention to what was said by Paul. She paid attention to what Paul said and preached. You see, you can come here this morning, hear the message of the gospel, and at the same time, being far from God, close your heart, and not receive the blessings that comes with hearing the word of God. She had her heart open. She was responsive. And she said yes to that message that Paul preached. And I pray this morning that you will always choose to say yes to the Lord. I pray that you will continue to follow Jesus Christ all your days of the life that God has given to you. And I pray that all of us will be always responsive to the message of the gospel. And then how we know that their faith brought fruit in the life of Lydia. Lydia had an enthusiastic faith. She didn't only hear the message, but Lydia's faith was something concrete, something evident. Obedience was the main point of her life. And let me say this, you cannot have an enthusiastic faith if you are not enthusiastically convinced to obey Christ. Lydia clearly demonstrated that she accepted Jesus Christ, being willing to be baptized right away. Not only that, she opened her house. She was so convinced of what Paul and the other apostles announced to her that she said, I cannot keep only for myself these things. I need to invite them to come in my house and speak to the other people that are with me. And most probably, we are talking about the domus. According to the tradition of the Romans, the domus was the full household. It could be your children, it could be servants, it could be workers that are in the household. And that's what happened. Paul and the other apostles were invited to preach the gospel to them, and all them were baptized. What amazing fruit that openness of heart and response caused to happen in the city of Philippi. Her faith was enthusiastic. And look what happened. In verse 15, we read it before. And after she was baptized in her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. You know, I see the willingness to stay in fellowship with believers. Lydia didn't have the privilege to fellowship with other believers in the city of Philippi. So when she got the opportunity to fellowship with other believers, she said, please come, stay with us. If you judge me being faithful to the Lord, honor me to be part of our household for a while. Come to us. And I like what Luke says, and she prevailed upon us. Imagine Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and Luke to say, no, it's so kind of you, but you know, we are busy doing the ministry. And she insisted. She insisted, please come, you have to come. She prevailed on us. She said, please come. I want to spend time with you. I want to hear the gospel again. I want to know more about God. I don't have other people coming to teach me as you do. So come and teach me. I want to tell you this, my brothers and sisters. Pursue always godly people around you that can fellowship with you and can help you to grow in the ways of the Lord. It's such a blessing to be with brothers and sisters in Christ that can share their experience, they can let you grow in the ways of God, and you will be greatly blessed. So then, let me say some final application to your life through the life of Lydia. Continue to grow in your walk with God. This is just the first step of obedience. Remember when we had the class? I explained to you, biblically speaking, what baptism is. But I say this is the first step of obedience that you move in your Christian walk. And don't stop to grow. As I mentioned in my title, from religion, moving from religion to relationship. Religion is trying to get peace with oneself and God by keeping rites, rituals, and rules advanced by various religious institutions. This is what the dictionary says. Well, relationship, a full and complete acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as one's personal Lord and Savior. As I was saying before, enthusiastic faith comes out of enthusiastic obedience. Obey God's word. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It will strengthen you. And you will continue to grow. Because I believe that God can use greatly in this church and the kingdom of God. And then, beside the exhortation, encouragement to continue to grow, be a positive influence in your world. Lydia was a positive influence in a household, in the people of Philippi. And I believe that you have the ability to be a positive influence in your world. Lydia put at the service of the Lord whatever she had. Her house was a beautiful house, maybe, but she put it to the service of the men of God. She had a lot of resources. This is what she did. Lord, I'm serving what I have. If you bless me with what I have, I can give you back what you gave me. And she was not ashamed to welcome Paul and Silas, even after they were beaten with wounds and bruised after being jailed in the prison of Philippi. She welcomed. I'm not ashamed of you. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. So be positive in your influence about Christ. May people know you because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Not because you are extravagant, not because you are fanatics, but because you follow Jesus Christ. Because you love Jesus, you love his people, you love the character of Jesus, you love his words. May this be an encouragement to you all. And then, my last final encouragement, expect great things from God. Expect great things from God. Oh, live in that such expectation, because God will use you. I believe that this is not by chance that you are here. It's not by chance that you came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God has a great plan for your life, and expect that a plan in your ordinary life will be fulfilled in a way that is supernatural. So expect great things from God. God knows your heart, and he will use your beautiful heart, regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus, to increase his kingdom and bring glory to his name. That's my desire. That's, I believe, is the desire of our congregation this morning. And let me tell you, we love you so much. And feel free to feel part of this family of faith that can encourage you, that can honor you, and that can sometimes pick you up when you fall. Because those times will come too. But know that you are not alone. You are in a company of a body that loves you and cares. Amen?